Brett from Ant Magazine. Come on in. It's time for Rocket Fuel.
What's up and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up on this episode, I'll play new music from Two Tongues, Ben Nichols and the Shaking Hands, and classic tunes from Jawbreaker and Superdrag. I'll also review the latest album from O Pioneers, and later I'll talk with Amp Magazine publisher and editor Brett Matthews. But up first is brand new music from Two Tongues. The band, made up of Chris Conley and Dave Soloway from Saves the Day, and Max Bemis and Kobe Linder of Say Anything, released their self-titled debut album earlier this month on Vagrant Records. Here is Two Tongues with Dead Lizard.
miserable? Are you miserable tonight? You're invincible, indefensible, 7 deep and getting right.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was a classic track from the Knoxville, Tennessee power pop band Superdrag. From their last full-length Last Call for Vitriol, which was released in 2002, that was The Staggering Genius. Before that was The Guts, bringing you their energetic pop punk with Love, 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 which is off their latest album, Let It Go. That song also features legendary punk icon Ben Weasel. And now, punk rock headlines. The English Beat have announced more dates on their recently announced tour. The shows are in celebration of the Ska Reggae Act's 30th anniversary and will feature Bad Manners, Big D and the Kids Table, and the Pie Tasters. The Cobra Skulls are planning a new album for 2009. The band had this to say, "Cobra Skulls will be recording a new full-length at the end of March and the beginning of April. The record will be out sometime this summer. Look for a couple of shows here or there this spring, and then come summer, we'll be back on the road full-time touring the States and Europe. We'll keep you posted on the specifics." They released Never Be a Machine 7-inch in 2008. In related recording news, post-hardcore act Rival Schools have begun work on their first full-length album in 8 years. The band posted this on their blog. Faders are flying as recording begins. The band released United by Fate in 2001. And finally, Wired reports that National Geographic is launching a new record label. Dubbed Nat Geo, the plan is for the label to release music on CD and digitally. The report goes on to explain that the new label will not focus on the sound of the rainforest, indigenous tribes, or things of that nature. Rather, Nat Geo Music is looking for modern-sounding bands from various countries that have the potential to attract listeners from other regions. As for the surprise about launching a label at this somewhat perilous time, there's a lot of doom and gloom about the business as a whole, but that's the business as a whole. But we don't have $2 million worth of product sitting at Best Buy that we're really worried about being returned right now. Every label and artist needs to find a business model that works for them. If you can find a business model that works for you, then who cares what the rest of the business is doing? Punk rock headlines are brought to you by the strange, slow, and old people at punknews.org. Ah, the power of punk news. Up next is more new music. Ben Nichols is known for his whiskey-soaked vocals and his storytelling lyrics in the well-respected band Lucero. Now, Nichols has released an EP of solo material entitled The Last Pale Light in the West. The EP is based on No Country for Old Men author Cormac McCarthy's novel, Blood Meridian. From this excellent EP, here is Tobin.
I've done some preaching back in Texas before the war. Now I hunt heathens, cause it pays better than the Lord. And I ride with demons, devil by my side. Be it us or the heathens, we must all pay a heavy price. And I've seen hoof prints cloven in stone. Now tell me, kind of devil tried there long ago with a sack of sinner souls. There must be a place where this world and grace made me Dutch Holton is the devil, and his health is Mexico. Patching on kills, Dutch Holton will for sure. At home there's more preaching than I ever was before. Preaches reason, he preaches war. And I've seen hoof prints cloven in stone. Now tell me, what kind of devil tried there long ago with a sack of sinner souls? There must be a place where this world and grace may meet. Says this last game, let's play for large stakes. I'll wait and see. And I've seen hoof prints cloven in stone. Now tell me, kind of devil tried there long ago with a sack of sinner souls?
Could have been there when they all had souls. Souls. covered by wildflowers and spending the never gone. Riding on clothesline and boxes of bones. I wish you could have been there when they all had souls. So much soul.
We're back here at Rocket Fuel. Hailing from Brooklyn, New York, that was the indie pop duo Slingshot Dakota with Ohio. That song appears on their latest album entitled Their Dreams Are Dead, But Ours Is the Golden Ghost. The band will be hitting the road this spring on a tour that will take them to California and back, so be sure to check them out when they come to your town. Before that was the amazing Murfreesboro, Tennessee alt-country band Glossary. From their latest album, The Better Angels of Our Nature, that was Little Caney. If you like that tune and want to hear more, you can download their entire album for free at the band's website, www.glossary.us. Currently, the band is at the Echo Lab Studios in Argyle, Texas, recording their new album, Feral Fire. I, for one, can't wait to give it a listen. Houston, Texas's O Pioneers have returned with a new album, which was released on Asian Man Records on CD and on Kiss of Death Records on vinyl this month. Neon Creeps, the band's second full-length, brings the trio's raw brand of punk rock mixed with stripped-down intros and vocals that sound as if they are delivered with the weight of the world on singer Eric's vocal cords. Lyrically, there is a desperation and urgency in the words throughout each song of Neon Creeps that demands the listener's attention and sparks the flame to get their blood boiling. Covering topics such as personal financial debt, the depression of our urban surroundings, and not fitting in, it was easy enough to make me want to simultaneously cry my eyes out and punch a hole in the wall. The band does shed a little ray of hope, however, halfway through the record in the song Stressing the F Out. The band tries to convince themselves and the listener to just calm down and that everything will be all right. O Pioneers add some levity to their records with their pop culture references with song titles like Saved by the Bell was a super good show, My Life as a Morrissey Song, and Chris Ryan added me on Facebook. However, the lyrics contained within each song are to be taken very seriously and not in jest. The sound of Neon Creeps easily draws comparisons to early Hot Water music, but O Pioneers are not a Hot Water ripoff band in the least. Mixing straightforward rhythms with vocals that are sung and shouted with a fierce intensity, the band creates a sound that is melodic and disjointed at the same time, which masterfully kept me on my toes. I will tell you that their sound is not for everyone, but those that enjoy this brand of punk rock are bound to love it. On the Rocket Fuel gauge for reviews, a 0 being that the album is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full or average, and a 10 being that the album is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give Neon Creeps by O Pioneers a 7. This is one of those records that you have to be in the mood to listen to it, but once you are, it will definitely hit the spot. From Neon Creeps, here is O Pioneers with The Architect of Disney World.
Just as easily tear apart. We can build the bridges just to tear them apart. We can burn down the cities, build them right back up. Make a change and make it permanent. But when you restructure, rebuild and reorganize, you can make it permanent. Just to tear them apart. We can burn down cities just to build them right back up. But it's up to us. But it's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us. There's only so much that we can build and build and build until it starts to crack under the pressure. We can build the bridges just to tear them apart. We can burn down cities just to build them right back up. But it's up to us. But it's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us.
It's what's best for you.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. From New Orleans, Louisiana, that was the punk act The Ghostwood with Exited, which comes from their self-titled album. Head over to the Community Records website to download this album and many other great punk and ska tunes for free at communityrecords.org. Thanks to Greg and D-Ray for having a great label and for their support of the show. Before The Ghostwood was a great track from the well-respected punk band Smoker Fire. From there, The Sinking Ship album, which was released in 2007, that was The Patty Hearst Syndrome. Last week I had a chance to talk with Brett Matthews. Besides being a great guy, he is also the publisher and editor of Amp Magazine, a member of the California punk band Why I Hate, and a lover of Jawbreaker. Check it out. Okay, I'm here with Brett Matthews from Amp Magazine. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show here. I've got a few questions for you, if you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, how did you get started with Ant Magazine?
You know, it's funny. A long time ago, I can't remember if I was in a band that was so bad nobody else would put it out, or if I just didn't want to take the time to find somebody else to put it out. But I had started a record label maybe 95, 96, somewhere around there, and was kind of mentored, that's kind of a weird story, I was kind of mentored by Mel, who did Shredder Records, and was playing in a band called The Parasites that was on Shredder Records, so Mel was always a really good friend of mine and really helped me a lot with the record label. And, you know, I kind of forget exactly how the process went, and I kind of would rather just glaze over it, but something happened with Mel and Maximum Rock and Roll. And we decided to start another magazine. And Tim died, and Maximum kind of maybe went the way that you could kind of squint and see the way Tim wanted it to go, but didn't really.
Right.
And I felt it was more, I don't know, the rules of punk rock just seems like an oxymoron to me. You know, it seems like the only rule in punk rock is you should at least own one Misfits record, and that's it. And it seemed like they were just getting kind of over the top with it at Maximum. So we started a magazine called Hit List in 97, which was myself, Mel, and Jeff Bale, who was Tim's partner when they started Maximum Rock and Roll.
Gotcha.
And Hit List was really neat. It was my first experience, you know, about delving into publishing, and it was cool, but I feel like we kind of painted ourselves into a corner. It was very rock and roll, to the point where the last issue, I mean, the last issue, the final straw, was a brand new band that I was so in love with called American Nightmare, and International Noise Conspiracy had just dropped their first record because the Refuse had just kind of split. And we did a split cover with them, and all of our rock and roll people were freaking out, like, oh, what's this emo crap and sissy crap? And, you know, it's like, well, dude, there's still 150 pages of your Johnny Thunders in there, but, you know, have an open mind. And it was just, it kind of hurt, you know, it's kind of sucked. It's like, this is not the punk rock that I love and that I believe in. I mean, even to this point, it's like, we have three magazines because I love so many different types of music.
Right.
And it, so yeah, Hit List kind of ceased. I was touring with my band quite a bit then, Breathe In, and then I had to quit Breathe In because I was going to be in Germany for my daughter's first birthday, and I had, again, still doing the record label, I had three or four bands on Warped Tour that summer, so I kind of had to stop doing the band, came back, started a new magazine, Amp, and, well, I guess that's a really long version of how Amp got started.
Well, that's obviously a pretty long journey to get it started, and of course it's been a long journey since Amp was created. How have you seen the magazine evolve over time since you've got it started? And thinking about what you said a little bit ago, you know, Amp has such a wide range of bands it covers.
I love that my answer was so long that you... It was referred to as a little bit ago, you said.
Sorry.
Sorry.
No, it's all good, man. So, you know, thinking
this
about...
This is what happens when you call me early in the morning. Oh, you actually get a rested version of me. I'll probably sit here and yap your ear off.
No worries, man. That's awesome.
You get me talking music, I'll sit here all day with you for sure.
That's awesome. Well, I'm only paying like a couple cents per minute, so I've got the time.
Nice.
But you know, thinking about Amp and you know, you guys cover such a wide range of artists, you know, from metal to the, you know, kind of the pop punk to, you know, the stuff you're seeing on, you know, Victory and Epitaph and other labels out there now. Is that kind of in response to the stuff you were up against with the Hit List in the beginning?
You know, yeah, it kind of is. I love music. I mean, I have everything from every Slayer record to, you know, every 7-inch that Lookout put out ever. You right. know, it's... And that's... We kind of found ourselves busting at the seams at like 250 pages with Amp there for a while, and that printing bill was just ridiculous.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, the pogo punks were kind of not giving, you know, we'd be covering new bands like Time Again and stuff, and then they wouldn't delve into a magazine like Amp
right.
to read about that band. And so we did the Loud Fast Rules, and then we kind of moved a lot of the metal stuff over to Hills and Horns. But yeah, we try to keep it really diverse. You know, it's, again, I think people should have really open minds with music. Good music is good music.
Right.
You know, I really can't go from the Weezer Blue album to Rain and Blood and enjoy both of them. They're both, album's full of really well-crafted songs, really enjoyable to listen to. And I think that there's a lot of bands out there busting their asses, and nobody's really giving them the time of day.
Right.
You know, I feel we are kind of and not the only, because, I mean, there's a ton of great magazines out there, but for some reason we found a niche with the kids. The kids really locked into us, and for some reason we have the ability to take bands to them. I think we're kind of the gap between Maximum Rock and Roll and AP. And
right.
I think both those magazines, you know, they do what they do really well. Man, there's a huge gap in between, and those are a lot of the bands that, you know, are out there playing the Gilmans and you know, touring their asses off, and they're the ones that need the help.
Right.
So it's, you know, you come out every other month, and you only got 200 pages to fill. You got to try to squeeze as many of those bands in there as you can to try to help them.
That's awesome. Now, thinking about that, how do you guys decide on what bands to cover, and specifically, too, what bands you put on the cover?
Boy, I'm probably going to get myself in a lot of trouble with this answer. I put bands on the cover that I think will get as many magazines into people's hands as possible, because
right.
I feel like if, you know, everybody heard Black Flag for the first time at some point.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's no question about that. And if I have to put, say, a Fall Out Boy on the cover, which might not be my favorite band.
Right.
But if I can get a bunch of kids that just found out about this really aggressive melodic music called punk rock
right.
through Fall Out Boy, and I can get them to pick up that magazine and give them 150 pages extra of Anchor Arms,
right.
Hot Water Music, you know, if that's the first way that they're finding out about Hot Water Music, or you know, Young Against Me, or, you know, any of these upcoming bands
right.
at any given point, that's great.
Right.
That's absolutely great. You know, you fell in love with Fall Out Boy. Here, let me put some punk rock words in front of you. Here's Russ Rankin's column.
Right.
You know, here's Jesse Luscious's column. Here's, you know, this is what punk rock is really about. And there's a lot of columns in there that have opinions that contradict each other. But that's great. That's
right.
the beginning of an open discussion, an open conversation, and open-mindedness.
Exactly.
So
that's awesome.
I don't know. You know, a lot of it is, hey, here's some big bands that I know you want to read about. You know, we're asking somebody to show over $4 for a magazine, you know, $3-something for a magazine. Yeah, here's the bands you do know about, you do love already, and that you want to read, and it's going to make it an enjoyable magazine for you. But while you're at it, check these bands out.
Right. Now, do you kind of see yourself, when I think about that concept, for me back in the day, when I was, you know, a youngin, I would, you know, buy a record of a band that I loved, and then I would read the liner notes and try to find every band that they listed in the liner notes and check them out. Do you kind of see
yeah.
Amp in that same vein now? Because, you know, of course, a lot of the kids are downloading their music, and they don't get those liner notes. Do you kind of see Amp in that way?
You know, it might be the evolution of that. Maybe. I don't think there is liner notes anymore. You know, when we were probably ordering records, we didn't have the internet.
Right.
We would, you know, buy everything that Lookout put out, because to date, at that point, you know, 70% of their releases were awesome.
Right.
Buy everything Doctor Strange put out. Buy everything, you know, Fat put out in the early days. Like, it was just kind of cool. There's a pretty damn good chance this is going to be good.
Right.
And the thanks list was a really big part of that.
Exactly.
You know, all the way down to reading Maximum and just looking through for, you know, certain reviewers that you liked. Or I always liked how they had the band names in bold, you know, or capitals. I would just scan through the reviews and look for references to Jawbreaker or Crimp Shrine or, you know, bands that I really cared about, to see what that record was. And, you know, now kids can jump on the MySpace or whatever it is and kind of listen to the bands. So it's kind of a new world, you know, and I think there's awesome elements to it. There's kind of sad elements to it. I don't think kids really appreciate, although with the reemergence of places like Vinyl Collective and whatnot, it's great that kids are, you know, waiting by their mailbox for a box to come.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's amazing. There was a huge gap for the last 5 years of kids not understanding what it felt like to wait by your mailbox for that new 7-inch to come to run inside and put it on your turntable.
Right.
You know, that was huge.
Yeah.
So, I think it's kind of the evolution of the thanks list, maybe.
Very cool, very cool.
Per se.
kind of a tough question here, but you know, of course, as we all know, the current climate of our economy isn't as good as it could be. How has that affected, you know, AMP and the sister magazines as well?
It's forced us to think outside of the box. You know, a lot of outlets aren't carrying magazines anymore. You know, I think Hot Topic starting this year is not going to be carrying publications anymore, which is huge.
Yeah.
You know, it's I totally get it. There's not a lot of markup, and they take up a lot of shelf space.
Yeah.
But I think there's also the point that they're missing of, hey, we sell a ton of records here that kids might not know who it is until they read about it.
Right.
But, you know, it's forcing us to do different things. We're really delving more into subscriptions, and starting with the last few issues, we have a thing for our advertisers. Anybody that takes out ads, well, you know, if they want, we'll drop ship them a couple hundred copies of the magazine for free.
Oh, wow.
To, you know, give to their bands that are featured in there to hand out at shows. And yeah, and it's really important to us to, God, there's so many people that show up here to work every day and bust their asses to make this magazine. And it's really important for us to get that in front of as many people as possible. So, yeah, just kind of think outside of the box and always be adjusting, I think.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you from, you know, someone who reads AMP every time it comes out, you know, I would usually go to my Borders or Books a Million or wherever and buy a copy. I'm glad you guys brought back subscriptions. I signed up as soon as I heard that you guys were doing that. So I'll get to look forward to, and I'm sure many others, to getting AMP in their mailbox every other month. So I think I appreciate that as a reader.
Yeah, it should be neat. I'm really excited to be able to reach directly out to people. I mean, we were just doing so many things, and with a limited staff, it was really hard to attack that element of it. And it was just easy enough to be like, cool, send a semi-truck to this warehouse, pick them up, take them to these distributors, and let them deal with it. We can keep working on the next issue.
Exactly.
And you know, like I said, that was just something we had to adjust. Hey, we need to get out to the kids that can't get it, you know, so we need to focus more on making subscriptions available and the best way to optimize that. So
very cool. Thinking about you know, outside the box ideas, have you guys ever thought about considering being an online magazine? I know that that's kind of cropping up around in different circles. Is that something you guys have ever thought about doing?
You know, we actually just recently, after a year and a half of banging our heads up against walls and working with different web developers, just relaunched ampmagazine.com about a month ago, and it's kind of its own online magazine. It is, you know, exclusive interviews and articles put up every single day. There's more information that is put up on ampmagazine.com and more interviews than there is every month in the magazine. So it's kind of its own magazine.
I see.
Again, I could probably start four magazines and fill it just geeking out about bands that I fall in love with.
Right.
Yeah.
Understand. I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, thinking about, you know, the answers that you've given, what can readers of AMP and Hales and Horns and Loud Fast Rules expect in their magazines this year?
This year? You know, I don't know. We've actually, for the last 6 months already, been talking about a year from now. We're excited about the our last issue of this year, the kind of decade in review. And I think it's kind of neat. You know, you go month by month, and there's some records you freak out about. It's like, man, this record's really good. But it's like, how many are you still pulling out 10 years later?
Right.
I'm really excited to sit down and kind of delve into that and look at the last 10 years of, you know, the magazine and see who we were talking about and see who we're still really stoked about and see what some of those bands did. You know, it's neat to see the evolution of an Against Me. It's, you know.
Right.
It's kind of cool to see what they did, and there's a lot of bands that kind of evolved differently.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's neat to see which records stand the test of time. I think those are truly the great records. You know, the jawbreakers.
Right.
Sorry, I keep bringing up Jawbreaker.
No,
I got Blake on the brain.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get to that in a little bit here, but I'll definitely be looking forward to that issue. I'm sure a lot of people will too, as far as the decade in review, because that'll be pretty good.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and I don't think we really plan out too much. You know, I don't know what to expect this year. You know, I would just we never really look up.
Gotcha.
You know, if you look up and try to assess something, you're no longer in it, and that kind of freaks us out. So we just kind of keep our heads down and go issue by issue. And but yeah, that is something we're looking forward to. That should be neat.
Yeah, definitely. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about your own musical endeavors in Why I Hate. How did that band get started?
You know, it's funny. Maybe 6 or 7 years ago it started.
We
happened to have our first practice 6 months ago. Bree then used to play with a great band called UnID around here. We just loved watching that band and loved their singer. He was an amazing singer. And we always talked about doing a band that was more aggressive and probably a little bit more politically charged than both of our bands were, called Why I Hate. You know, it was something that just kind of got, you know, talked about for the better part of half a decade. And I stopped playing in my last band, in January of last year. And then we just kind of started putting the pieces together for this. I don't know. It seemed like everything just lined up. And it's a pretty crazy band. And I just mean that more for me, like, personally. It's like all of my best friends. It's a dream band. I couldn't imagine anything better. You know, it's people that have been my best friends for years and years and years. And getting to play with Chris again, that was in Breathe In, and getting to see Justin singing again. And, man, it's just really cool. It's really good for all of us.
That's really great. And you guys have a split coming out here pretty soon, don't you?
Yeah, with Anchored Arms. Man, that band's ridiculous. I love that band.
I do too.
You know, he got cold-blooded in it. It was just floored by it. It was funny because a gentleman named Sean, who owns Failsafe Records, and I guess he was talking to Var, and Var knows very well which bands I like and which bands I don't like. And I guess Var, when he first heard Cold-Blooded, was like, you got to send a copy of this to Brett. He's going to lose his shit over it. And they did, and I did, and it's been a love fest ever since. And somehow the stars aligned, and we got to actually do a split record with them, which is just mind-blowing. Like, our first release is a split with maybe my favorite new band, you know?
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Super nice kids. I mean, their hearts are just really in the right place, and their music is just fantastic. And yeah, they paid attention in the right classes in school, that's for sure.
Right. Awesome. Do you know when that split's going to come out?
You know, I think it's... I know Sean was talking about doing... I guess the production of it got scooted back a little bit.
Okay.
We were waiting for mastering, and James from Anchor Arms went in and sang on one of our songs. And by the time everything was said and done and ready to send off to the pressing plant, we weren't going to be able to hit the March 6th show that they were playing with the Harvest of Hope, which, you know, boy, that lineup just looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it does.
And Sean wanted to make sure that Anchor Arms had some records there for that, so I think he's doing like 150 test pressings and a silkscreen cover, so it'll kind of be out March 6th for that show, and then I think shortly after that it'll be out. And it's vinyl only, so it's kind of, I guess, whenever the records come back.
That'll be awesome. Everyone will have to keep their eyes peeled for that.
Half of it's great. Anchor Arms rule.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of theirs too, and I'm glad to have James on the show a while back. I'm a big fan of that band too. So,
They got 7 new songs on there. It's weird because it's a little bit of a departure from Cold Blooded. I mean, it still feels like Cold Blooded, but it's like Cold Blooded kicked in the nuts. It's kind of Cold Blooded on 11. It's really neat. I'm really stoked on it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really driving Rocket from the Crypt version of Anchor Arms.
Very cool. It'll be definitely a band that's going to be pretty cool to watch and see how they evolve and hopefully, you know, get some more attention and that kind of stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're great. And, you know, I love talking to that band because they have huge, huge, huge dreams of someday moving up to a label like No Idea.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's their ultimate goal. I mean, there's so many bands out there that are like, is my white belt clean enough, and is my hair asymmetrical enough, and, you know,
right.
can we write this song to get on Victory Records?
Right.
You know, it's like, wow, you know, they've already got 27 bands that sound exactly like you guys, you know, and you don't have to sound like one of them to try to get on Victory Records. And,
yeah.
You know, Acorns is just out there just hammering it and really hope to get on their hometown hero label. Yeah, that's just really cool.
Yeah, that is definitely cool. Now, what do you see as the future for Why I Hate, and how does that kind of line up with the future of Amp Magazine? As far as, I mean, I think it would be hard for, if you guys were to tour, be hard for you to keep the magazine going. How do you reconcile that?
You know, our drummer is Nick, and he was in a band called Divot that I did a lot of work with. We put out like 7 records, I think, for Divot. He just bought a bar here in Walnut Creek. You know, we're all somewhat busy, but I think we'll definitely be touring probably 2 to 3 months a year, and then the other, you know, 8 or 9 months be assaulting the hell out of the West Coast and playing shows with friends. And in a sort of weird way, I'm kind of backing away from Amp a little bit. There's a lot of kids here that, you know, love the Comeback Kids as much as I loved American Nightmare.
Gotcha.
That love, you know, the Trio and more recent bands like that as much as I love Jawbreaker. And I think it's good for them to kind of take the reins and kind of run with it. You know, I think people that are pushing those bands and saying that we love them as much as I ever could have written about Jawbreaker or Hot Water Music, they're the ones that should actually be at the helm.
Gotcha.
So it's, I don't know, I think it'll all settle and work itself out.
Yeah, is that, how does that, for you, thinking about, you know, taking that step back, obviously you've been with Amp, you know, since the beginning, will that be a difficult thing for you to, I don't want to say let go, but, you know, kind of loosen the grip on going forward?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be exciting for me. I'm excited to see what they do with the magazine.
Cool.
You know, I think it's too easy to get old and jaded, and I think, you know, if you spend 10 years at a club listening to bands, you find your favorite fast hardcore band. You find your favorite melodic hardcore band. You find your favorite pop punk band. And,
right.
And at that point, you probably become a little less apt to be open-minded to some of the newer bands.
Right.
You know, I think it's neat to stand back and see what, you know, see what Lisa Root finds, see what Jake Brown finds, see what Shirley finds, see what Priya finds. You know, there's some really, really smart kids here, and Amp's a fanzine. You know, everybody here is music geeks.
Yeah.
You know? There's a lot of cool bands out there, and I'm excited to see what they find and what they do with the magazine. And
very cool.
See,
yeah,
where it takes it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now you've mentioned Jawbreaker a few times here, and I understand you went to a show last night. Who did you get to see, and where were they?
Went to Gilman Street. Well, we spent a lot of time at the Pyramid Brewery across the street from Gilman Street. But, yeah, we went to Gilman Street, and Off With Their Heads played. They were fantastic.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Revolts played. They were great. Comadre, man, a local band. If anybody's listening to this, go online and check out Comadre. They, great, great young local band here. And then Thorns of Life played, which Blake from Jawbreaker and Aaron from and Shrine and Pinhead Gunpowder and Cleveland Down Death Sentence and the bass player from an old Lookout band called The Groups. I don't know why I'm telling anybody about Thorns of Life. I'm sure if anybody's even anywhere near a computer, which obviously they are if they're listening to this, has already seen that on every message board.
Yeah,
I got to see them last night. It was, man, I'm so excited for that record. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
I've never seen a line like that at Gilman Street. It was kind of weird.
Yeah,
I've talked to Blake quite a few times, and he's always had the following of Jawbreaker has been weird. I've been with them since before they dropped their first album, and when they dropped their first album, people didn't get it. When they dropped their second record, all people cared about was their first record.
Right.
All the way through till, you know, Dear You, when people just wanted to hear 24-Hour Revenge Therapy.
Right.
And then he took 5 years off, came back with Jets to Brazil, and all people wanted to hear was Jawbreaker.
Right.
And standing there in line last night, looking at the diversity of the people that were there, and people excited just to see Blake. It seemed like everything kind of caught up with them, in a good way. Like,
right.
Okay, let's see what this masterful wordsmith has come up with next.
Right.
You know, what's the sound, the songs. And it was really neat. Really neat.
Very cool. And for, you know, obviously you were there. What, how is the sound? What would you describe it as it relates to, you know, Jets to Brazil or Jawbreaker and Crimp Shrine and others? How would you describe the sound if from last night?
I have never heard Aaron play drums like that. I was really curious to see how Blake's more recent songwriting was going to line up with the way that Aaron seemingly only knows how to play drums. Which, I mean, that's not a slight. Man, if you do something that badass, that'd right. be the only thing I ever did, too, you know?
Right, keep sticking with it, right.
Yeah. So, it was really cool. He was really playing some neat drum stuff. And it kind of sounded more like Four Cornered Mate, Jets to Brazil type songwriting. Like, it was more of the kind of big guitar riff, but still very pop-driven.
I see.
But not as... not as melancholy as, say, like an Orange Rhyming Dictionary.
Gotcha.
It was probably somewhere between like Four Cornered Night and some of the more mid-tempo songs on Dear You, but with a neat Comet Bus feel. You know, it was really neat.
Awesome.
Yeah, great words. It was neat to see Gilman Street packed like a freaking sardine can, and everybody in there just trying to hang on every word that they're hearing come out of Blake's mouth for the first time since. Obviously, nobody's heard this record.
Yeah.
People were just standing there enthralled by this, and it was really neat to see.
That's awesome. Now, was it an older crowd? Was it a younger crowd? Was it a mix of both?
It was really diverse. It was neat. I don't get to Gilman Street as much as I used to, and it was pretty nostalgic being back there, and it was really cool being in line, remembering how diverse Gilman Street crowds were.
Right.
People that just really kind of cared about music. And I'm sure there was a lot of people there to, you know, be part of the scene or, hey, it's, you know, somebody that used to be in some band has some new band and I think everybody's going to go check it out. You know, there's
right.
definitely a few of those. But it was a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time, a lot of old Gilman Street people that, you know, you just don't see anymore. And they all made it out, and a lot of new faces, a lot of younger people, and it was really cool. And again, you know, the bill was really diverse. I think Off With Their Heads brought out a lot of people. Camaraderie brought out a lot of people. Not that anybody needed to, because like I said, the line was way around the corner.
Right.
So, hey, even like last Operation Ivy show, last Crim Friend show, I don't remember seeing lines like that.
Oh,
it was
wow.
pretty crazy.
Wow, that's quite a statement. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty weird.
Well, kind of thinking about that, this is kind of my last question for you. What do you see as the future of punk rock? You know, thinking about folks like, you know, Blake, you know, coming back with a new band, and we've talked about, you know, young bands like Anchor Arms, and talked about maybe some of the other kind of white belt bands that we're not too keen on. What do you see as the future of punk rock in the next few years?
I think punk is going to regress a little bit, sound-wise. I think, and again, this is just me being old and jaded, I guess, but I think punk kind of perfected itself in the late 90s, and punk has always been, what can we do to make this different, which is a great, great mindset, you know, but I think that they took something that was almost perfected and tried to, you know, overanalyze it, and add, you know, metal licks in the middle of pop songs and go from death rock screaming into these sweet lullaby choruses.
Right.
And I think that the last few years you really see just like the early 90s. I mean, it's all these new labels that are popping up are very reminiscent of the labels that were popping up in the early 90s that started filling the Mortem catalog, you know, and discovering all these really neat, cool bands that are just playing local clubs and just have this very heartfelt sound. And, but, you know, that's me. A lot of people like the screaming and the chorus singing. And,
right.
You know, so, it, again, if amp was just for me, we'd only have to print one issue.
Right.
that would be pointless, right. You know? So it's, you know, there's a lot of different music out there. I think as trends change, some people are probably going to be bummed. Some people are probably going to miss the, you know, screaming and the singing stuff. And I'm sure it'll always be there.
Right.
Punk's never going to die.
No.
You know, it's punk rock, you know? It's just rock and roll played really aggressively or with a new light on it. So,
right.
I mean, it's good. You know, there's definitely all the tools there for anybody that really believes in the DIY aesthetic to go out there and actually do it themselves. They can record themselves, they can promote themselves, they can book their own tours. Yeah, it's, the world is set up for a band that really believes in that and is willing to bust their asses.
Yep, I agree, especially with everything, like you said, they have the tools to record themselves, they have the tools to book their own tours. I think more so than in the past, you can do everything yourself and do it well. And I hope that only bodes well for punk rock.
Yeah, I do too. I really hope that some bands take advantage of that. You know, and there's a lot of bands that their main goal with their band, which I love the mindset. Their main goal with the band is just to be able to practice with their friends two or three times a week and play a show once a month at the local bar.
Right.
That's awesome. That's great, and I hope if they're great, somebody at that local bar hears them and you know, helps them get their music out there. Or, you know, I can kind of take any road you want.
Yeah,
it's kind of the beauty of it.
Yep, so, and that, you hit the nail right on the head. Well, Brett, thank you so much for taking time out to be on the show. It was really a great time talking to you, and man, I wish you nothing but the best.
You're doing.
I'm sorry.
I said thank you for having me, and thank you for doing what you're doing. It's people like you that are getting, you know, music in front of people, helping people discover new bands.
Wow.
It's an audio version of what we try to do over here, and it's great.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you again so much, and best of luck with Amp and Hails and Horns, Loud Fast Rules, and Why I Hate, man. I wish you nothing but the best.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Brett for coming on to the show. Here's a classic track from the aforementioned band Jawbreaker. From their 1992 album Bivouac, here is Chesterfield King.
Touch a lot like me. You get to say a thing. dead meaning and dead play.
And we're back at Rocket Fuel. That was new music from the Gainesville, Florida band, The Shaking Hands. Featuring members of the punk act Young Livers, the anthem-rich band released their self-titled debut album on Kiss of Death Records. That song was called A New Reason to Rise. Up next is the last song for this episode, and it's a barn burner. Miami, Florida's Torch released their album Meanderthal on Hydrahead Records in 2008. The album, which masterfully mixes the explosive sounds of metal with the addictiveness of pop, was well received and made many critics' top albums list of 2008. Quite frankly, I don't know what I was thinking when they weren't put on mine. Anyway, from this tremendous record, here is Torch with Grenades. That'll do it for this episode of Rocket Fuel. Send your thoughts, comments, and parental advice to me at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to check out my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Want to get updates from me in between episodes of the show? Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/rocket_fuel. As some of you may know, my wife and I are about to welcome our first son into the world. As I adjust to talking more about pacifiers than punk rock, Rocket Fuel will be on a temporary hiatus. I do not expect this time away to be very long, and I am already working on special episodes when we come back. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.